I'm Brian Moore. This is called Poems of Adventure, Poems of Robert W. Service. I'm surprised that more people don't know about Robert Service. I've been talking with people around the village and they say, oh, who's Robert Service? And I go on and explain a little bit about who he is, or who he was. And I tell people he's had quite an influence on me and my life, my family. We drove to Alaska when I was in just going into fifth grade. And my folks, they bought a book called The Best of Robert Service, which, incidentally, that book is in the bookstore, I think cost $6.95, a good book to start out with if you're unfamiliar with Robert Service. I didn't think much of the book at the time. We got back from Alaska, and later on that school year, I think I picked the book up and started to read his poetry. And ever since then, I've become more and more interested in Robert Service as a person, and especially his poetry. And I found out since he's written a number of adventure novels, plus he's written two autobiographies and another book called Why Not Grow Young, which I haven't located yet. As soon as I do, I'll buy it. His books are hard to come by. I had to advertise nationally to acquire his novels. His poetry is generally fairly easy to acquire.
When did he live?
He was born in 1874. He was born in England. He was raised in Scotland. He lived with his three aunts and his grandfather for a while, and then he moved back in with his folks, and I believe he moved into Glasgow then. He didn't make it all the way through school. I think he went up until he was about 13 or 14, and then he went off trying to find some work. He worked in a bank in Glasgow for a while. Got the wanderlust. Got tired of the office routine, day in, day out, going and working with figures and numbers, and he decided to take a chance and go overseas. Some of his friends told him he was foolish. He decided he wanted to see what opportunities were possible in Canada, which is where he landed on a boat and worked his way across Canada, ended up in British Columbia, and from there he's traveled all over the up the Yukon Territory into Alaska, down to California and Mexico, and back overseas. He's spent a lot of time in France. He died in France, I believe, in 1958, so it hasn't been too long ago that he died. I am considering working on a master's degree in English, and if I do, I'm hoping that I can work it out so that I can study Robert Service's poetry more in depth, and perhaps even write a thesis on Robert Service. I'm always into advertising his poetry. So I'll start out with some poems out of this book here. It's called The Spell of the Yukon and Other Verses. The first poem here is called The Call of the Wild. And raise your hand or something if you can't hear me back there. I'll try to talk loud enough. I've had a bit of a cold recently, so I'm not going to be as clear as I would like to be. Have you gazed on naked grandeur where there's nothing else to gaze on? Set pieces and drop curtain scenes galore. Big mountains heave to heaven, which the blinding sunsets blazon. Black canyons where the rapids rip and roar. Have you swept the visioned valley with the green stream streaking through it? Searched the vastness for a something you have lost. Have you strung your soul to silence? Then for God's sake, go and do it. Hear the challenge, learn the lesson, pay the cost. Have you wandered in the wilderness, the sagebrush desolation, the bunch grass levels where the cattle graze? Have you whistled bits of ragtime at the end of all creation and learned to know the desert's little ways? Have you camped upon the foothills? Have you galloped o'er the ranges? Have you roamed the arid sunlands through and through? Have you chummed up with the mesa? Do you know its moods and changes? Then listen to the wild, it's calling you. Have you known the great white silence? Not a snow-gemmed twig a-quiver? Eternal truths that shame our soothing lies. Have you broken trail on snowshoes? Mushed your huskies up the river, dared the unknown, led the way, and clutched the prize. Have you marked the map's void spaces, mingled with the mongrel races, felt the savage strength of brute in every thew. And through grim as hell the worst is, can you round it off with curses, then hearken to the wild, it's wanting you. Have you suffered, starved, and triumphed, groveled down, yet grasped at glory, grown bigger in the bigness of the whole, done things just for the doing, let babblers tell the story, seeing through the nice veneer the naked soul? Have you seen God in his splendors, heard the text that nature renders? You'll never hear that in a family pew. The simple things, the true things, the silent men who do things, then listen to the wild, it's calling you. They have cradled you in custom, they have primed you with their preaching, they have soaked you in convention through and through. They have put you in a showcase, you are a credit to their teaching, but can't you hear the wild, it's calling you. Let us probe the silent places, let us seek what luck betide us. Let us journey to a land I do not know. There's a whisper on the night wind, there's a star agleam to guide us. And the wild is calling, calling, let us go. The next poem that I'll read is called The Men Who Don't Fit In. There's a race of men that don't fit in, a race that can't stay still, so they break the hearts of kith and kin, and they roam the world at will. They range the field and they rove the flood, and they climb the mountain's crest. Theirs is the curse of the gypsy blood, and they don't know how to rest. If they just went straight, they might go far. They are strong and brave and true, but they're always tired of the things that are, and they want the strange and new. They say, could I find my proper groove? What a deep mark I would make. So they chop and change, and each fresh move is only a fresh mistake. And each forgets as he strips and runs with a brilliant, fitful pace. It's the steady, quiet, plodding ones who win in the lifelong race. And each forgets that his youth has fled, forgets that his prime is past, till he stands one day with a hope that's dead in the glare of the truth at last. He has failed, he has failed, he has missed his chance, he has done things just by half. Life's been a jolly good joke on him, and now is a time to laugh. Ha ha, he is one of the legion lost. He was never meant to win. He's a rolling stone, and it's bread in the bone. He's a man who won't fit in. I have always been a bit of a non-conformist myself, and I don't know if that's because I've read so much of Robert Service's poetry. I don't know if I've read his poetry because I'm a bit of a non-conformist. I haven't figured that out yet. I think it probably is. And I expect for a lot of people who come to Holden Village that there are people looking for new ways of doing things. People don't quite fit into the society as it is, or maybe into their congregations. They're looking for new ways. So maybe we all don't quite fit in as well. The next poem is called The Law of the Yukon. This is a law of the Yukon, and ever she makes it plain. Send not your foolish and feeble, send me your strong and your sane. Strong for the red rage of battle, sane, for I harry them sore. Send me girt for the combat men who are grit to the core. Swift as the panther in triumph, fierce as the bear in defeat, sired of a bulldog parent, steeled in the furnace heat. Send me the best of your breeding, lend me your chosen ones, them will I take to my bosom, them will I call my sons. Them will I gild with my treasure, them will I glut with my meat. But the others, the misfits, the failures, I trample under my feet. Dissolute, damned, and despairful, crippled and palsied and slain, you would send me the spawn of your gutters. Go, take back your spawn again. Wild and wide are my borders, stern as death is my sway. From my ruthless throne, I have ruled alone for a million years and a day, hugging my mighty treasure, waiting for man to come, till he swept like a turbid torrent, and after him swept the scum. The pallid pimp of the deadline, the enervate of the pen, one by one I weeded them out, for all that I sought was men. One by one I dismayed them, frightening them sore by the glooms. One by one I betrayed them unto my manifold dooms. Drowned them like rats in my rivers, starved them like curs on my plains. Rotted the flesh that was left them, poisoned the blood in their veins. Burst with my winter upon them, searing forever their sight. Lashed them with fungus-white faces, whimpering wild in the night. Staggering blind through the storm whirl, stumbling mad through the snow. Frozen stiff in the ice pack, brittle and bent like a bow. Featureless, formless, forsaken, scented by wolves in their flight. Left for the wind to make music through ribs that are glittering white. Gnawing the black crust of failure, searching the pit of despair, crooking the toe in the trigger, trying to pat her a prayer. Going outside with an escort, raving with lips all afoam, writing a check for a million, driveling feebly of home. Lost like a louse in the burning, or else in the Trented town, seeking a drunkard's solace, sinking and sinking down. Steeped in the slime at the bottom, dead to a decent world, lost mid the human flotsam, far on the frontier hurled. In the camp at the bend of the river, with its dozen saloons aglare, its gambling dens a riot, its gramophones all ablare. Crimped with the crimes of a city, sin-ridden and bridled with lies, in the hush of my mountain vastness, in the flush of my midnight skies. Plague spots, yet tools of my purpose, so knaveless I suffer them thrive, crushing my weak in their clutches, that only my strong may survive. But the others, the men of my mettle, the men who establish my fame, unto its ultimate issue, winning me honor, not shame, searching my uttermost valleys, fighting each step as they go, shooting the wrath of my rapids, scaling my ramparts of snow, ripping the guts of my mountains, looting the beds of my creeks, them will I take to my bosom and speak as a mother speaks. I am the land that listens, I am the land that broods, steeped in eternal beauty, crystalline waters and woods. Long have I waited lonely, shunned as a thing accursed, monstrous, moody, pathetic, the last of the lands and the first. Visioning campfires at twilight, sad with a longing forlorn, feeling my womb o'er-pregnant with the seed of cities unborn. Wild and wide are my borders, stern as death is my sway, and I wait for the men who will win me, and I will not be won in a day. And I will not be won by weaklings, subtle, suave, and mild, but by men with the hearts of Vikings and the simple faith of a child. Desperate, strong, and resistless, unthrottled by fear or defeat, them will I gild with my treasure, them will I glut with my meat. Lofty I stand from each sister land, patient and wearily wise, with the weight of a world of sadness in my quiet, passionless eyes. Dreaming alone of a people, dreaming alone of a day, when men shall not rape my riches and curse me and go away. Making a bawd of my bounty, fouling the hand that gave, till I rise in my wrath, and I sweep on their path, and I stamp them into a grave. Dreaming of men who will bless me, of women esteeming me good, of children born in my borders of radiant motherhood, of cities leaping to stature, of fame like a flag unfurled, as I pour the tide of my riches in the eager lap of the world. This is a law of the Yukon, that only the strong shall thrive, that surely the weak shall perish, and only the fit survive. Dissolute, damned, and despairful, crippled, and palsied, and slain, this is the will of the Yukon, lo, how she makes it plain.
Yukon Pavilion and the Northwest Territories.
Yeah, he spent a lot of time up in those parts too, didn't he?
Yeah.
I'm reading through his first autobiography now, and I'm learning a lot more about his travels and places he's been. Where I'm at in the book now is where he's working. He just finished shoveling out a pigsty, and he said the dirtier he can get, the happier he is, he said. He said he went down to sit at lunch one day, and he felt really good because when he sat down, all the lady folks sitting around the table got up and left. In a couple of days, I'll be working as a maverick, and I'll maybe have the same experience. I don't know. The next poem is called The Lone Trail. Ye who know the lone trail fain would follow it, though it lead to glory or the darkness of the pit. Ye who take the lone trail, bid your love goodbye. The lone trail follow till you die. The trails of the world be countless, and most of the trails be tried. You tread on the heels of the many, and most of the trails be tried. You tread on the heels of the many till you come where the ways divide, and the one lies safe in the sunlight, and the other is dreary and wan, yet you look aslant at the lone trail, and the lone trail lures you on. And somehow you're sick of the highway, with its noise and its easy needs, and you seek the risk of the byway, and you reck not where it leads, and sometimes it leads to the desert, and the tongue swells out of the mouth, and you stagger blind to the mirage to die in the mocking drouth. And sometimes it leads to the mountain, to the light of the lone campfire, and you gnaw your belt in the anguish of hunger goaded desire. And sometimes it leads to the southland, to the swamp where the orchids glows, and you rave to your grave with the fever, and they rob the corpse for its clothes. And sometimes it leads to the northland, and the scurvy softens your bones, and your flesh dints in like putty, and you spit out your teeth like stones. Often it leads to the dead pit, always it leads to pain. By the bones of your brothers ye know it, but oh, to follow your fain. By your bones they will follow behind you till the ways of the world are made plain. Bid goodbye to sweetheart, bid goodbye to friend. The lone trail follow to the end. Tarry not and fear not, chosen of the true. Lover of the lone trail waits for you. I did some traveling in Ireland and Scotland. I spent considerable time in Glasgow living and working. So I expect I've walked some of the same streets that Robert Service has walked. I maybe went to the same bank that he worked in. I'm not sure. He describes it in his autobiography. I haven't figured out quite which one it was yet. Some of the poems he writes with a Scottish brogue, and I enjoy trying to learn to speak that even better. I picked a bit of the brogue up when I was over there, and it's a challenge for me now, though it's been 3 years. I've forgotten a lot of the brogue. The next voice is called the next poem is called The Three Voices. The waves have a story to tell me as I lie on the lonely beach, chanting aloft in the pine tops. The wind has a lesson to teach, but the stars sing an anthem of glory I cannot put into speech. The waves tell of ocean spaces, of hearts that are wild and brave, of populous city places, of desolate shores they lave, of men who sally in quest of gold to sink in an ocean grave. The wind is a mighty roamer, he bids keep me free, clean from the taint of the gold lust, hardy and pure as he, cling with my love to nature as a child to the mother knee. But the stars throng out in their glory, and they sing of the God in man. They sing of the mighty master, of the loom his fingers span. Where a star or a soul is a part of the whole, and weft in the wondrous plan, here by the campfire's flicker, deep in my blanket curled, I long for the peace of the pine gloom, when the scroll of the Lord is unfurled, and the wind and the wave are silent, and world is singing to world. The next one is one that people are, I imagine they're fairly familiar with. It's called the shooting of Dan McGrew. For those of you who've been up to Alaska or been at a chip-floored saloon, you have an idea of this, what he's talking about in this poem. When my family drove up to Alaska, we stopped, I think, in this place called the Malamute Saloon in the Yukon Territory. So I still remember that saloon to this day. I think I'll drive up to Alaska myself someday and check all these places out again. The shooting of Dan McGrew. A bunch of the boys were whooping it up in the Malamute Saloon. The kid that handles the music box was hitting a jagtime tune. Back of the bar in a solo game sat Dangerous Dan McGrew. And watching his luck was his light of love, the lady that's known as Lou. When out of the night, which was 50 below, and into the din and the glare, there stumbled a miner fresh from the creeks, dog dirty and loaded for bear. He looked like a man with a foot in the grave and scarcely the strength of a louse, yet he tilted a poke of dust on the bar and he called for drinks on the house. There was none could place the stranger's face, though we searched ourselves for a clue, but we drank his health and the last to drink was Dangerous Dan McGrew. There's men that somehow just grip your eyes and hold them hard like a spell. And such was he, and he looked to me like a man who had lived in hell. With a face most hair and the dreary stare of a dog whose day is done. As he watered the green stuff in his glass and the drops fell one by one. Then I got to figuring who he was and wondering what he'd do. And I turned my head and there watching him was a lady that's known as Lou. His eyes went rubbering round the room, and he seemed in a kind of daze, till at last that old piano fell in the way of his wandering gaze. The ragtime kid was having a drink. There was no one else on the stool, so the stranger stumbles across the room and flops down there like a fool. In a buckskin shirt that was glazed with dirt he sat, and I saw him sway. Then he clutched the keys with his taloned hands. My God, but that man could play. Were you ever out in the great alone when the moon was awful clear? And the icy mountains hemmed you in with a silence you most could hear, with only the howl of a timber wolf. And you camped there in the cold, a half-dead thing in a stark, dead world, clean mad for the muck called gold. While high o'erhead, green, yellow, and red, the north light swept in bars, then you've a hunch what the music meant, hunger and night and the stars. And hunger not of the belly kind that's banished with bacon and beans, but the gnawing hunger of lonely men for a home and all that it means. For a fireside far from the cares that are, four walls and a roof above, but oh, so crammed full of cozy joy and crowned with a woman's love. A woman dearer than all the world and true as heaven is true. God, how ghastly she looks through her rouge, the lady that's known as Lou. And on a sudden the music changed, so soft that you scarce could hear, but you felt that your life had been looted clean of all that it once held dear, that someone had stolen the woman you loved, that her love was a devil's lie, that your guts were gone, and the best for you was to crawl away and die. 'Twas the crowning cry of a heart's despair, and it thrilled you through and through. I guess I'll make it a spread misère, said Dangerous Dan McGrew. The music almost died away. Then it burst like a pent-up flood, and it seemed to say, repay, repay, and my eyes were blind with blood. The thought came back of an ancient wrong, and it stung like a frozen lash, and the lust awoke to kill, then the music stopped with a crash. And the stranger turned, and his eyes they burned in a most peculiar way. In a buckskin shirt that was glazed with dirt, he sat, and I saw him sway. Then his lips went in a kind of grin, and he spoke, and his voice was calm. And, "Boys," said he, "you don't know me, and none of you care a damn. But I want to state, and my words are straight, and I'll bet my poke they're true, that one of you is a hound of hell, and that one is Dan McGrew." Then I ducked my head, and the lights went out, and two guns blazed in the dark, and a woman screamed, and the lights went up, and two men lay stiff and stark. Pitched on his head and pumped full of lead was Dangerous Dan McGrew, while the man from the Cricks lay clutched to the breast of the lady that's known as Lou. These are the simple facts of the case, and I guess I ought to know. They say that the stranger was crazed with hooch, and I'm not denying it so. I'm not so wise as lawyer guys, but strictly between us two, the woman that kissed him and pinched his poke was the lady that's known as Lou. There are a lot of poems I read of Robert Service that I see hintings of theological concepts. He writes like the underdog or the men that don't fit in. I thought that if I went to the seminary, I might do a master's thesis there on the implications of the theology in Robert Service. I don't know that Robert Service would say he had a theology, but there are certainly things I find in his poetry that might suggest that. And this next one, I think, is one of those. It's called The Lowdown White. "This is payday up at the mines when the bearded brutes come down. There's money to burn in the streets tonight, so I've sent my klooch to town. With a haggard face and a ribbon of red entwined in her hair of brown. And I know at the dawn she'll come reeling home with the bottles, 1, 2, 3. One for herself to drown her shame, and 2 big bottles for me, to make me forget the thing I am and the man I used to be. To make me forget the brand of the dog as I crouch in this hideous place. To make me forget once I kindled the light of love in a lady's face. Where even the squalid Siwash know holds me a black disgrace. Oh, I have guarded my secret well, and who would dream as I speak in a tribal tongue like a rogue unhung mid the ranch house filth and reek? I could roll to bed with a Latin phrase and rise with a verse of Greek. Yet I was a senior prizeman once and the pride of a college 8. Called to the bar, my friends were true, but they could not keep me straight. Then came the divorce, and I went abroad and died on the River Plate. But I'm not dead yet, though with half a lung there isn't time to spare. And I hope that the year will see me out, and thank God, no one will care. Save maybe the little slim Siwash girl with the rose of shame in her hair. She will come with the dawn, and the dawn is near. I can see its evil glow, like a corpse light seen through a frosty pane in a night of want and woe. And yonder she comes by the bleak bullpine, swift staggering through the snow. The lonely sunsets flare forlorn down valleys dreadly desolate. The lordly mountains soar in scorn, as still as death, as stern as fate. The lonely sunsets flame and die. The giant valleys gulp the night. The monster mountains scrape the sky where eager stars are diamond bright. So gaunt against the gibbous moon, piercing the silence velvet-piled, a lone wolf howls his ancient rune, the fell arc spirit of the wild. O outcast land, O leper land, let the lone wolf cry all express the hate insensate of thy hand, thy heart's abysmal loneliness." The next one is entitled The Parson's Son. This is another one that I appreciate for some of its theological implications. the parson's son. This is a song of the parson. Cold. I've followed my dreams by its thousand streams. I've toiled and moiled for its gold. Look at my eyes. Been snowblind twice. Look where my foot's half gone. And that gruesome scar on my left cheek where the frost fiend bit to the bone. Each one a brand of this devil's land where I've played and I've lost the game. A broken wreck with a craze for a hooch and never a cent to my name. This mining is only a gamble. The worst is as good as the best. I was in with a bunch, and I might have come out right on top with the rest. With Cormick, Loud, and MacDonald. Oh, God, but it's hell to think of the thousands and thousands I've squandered on cards and women and drink. In the early days, we were just a few, and we hunted and fished around. Nor dreamt by our lonely campfires of the wealth that lay under the ground. We traded in skins and whiskey, and I often slept under the shade of that lone birch tree on Bonanza where the first big find was made. We were just like a great big family, and every man had his squaw, and we lived such a wild, free, fearless life beyond the pale of the law. Till sudden there came a whisper, and it's madness, every man, and I got in on a Bonanza before the big rush began. Oh, those Dawson days, and the sin, and the blaze, and the town all open wide. If God made me in his likeness, sure he let the devil inside. But we all were mad, both the good and the bad, and as for the women, well, no spot on the map is so short of space has hustled more souls to hell. Money was just like dirt there, easy to get and to spend. I was all caked in a dance hall, Jade, but she took me in the end. It put me queer, and for near a year I never drew sober breath, till I found myself in the bughouse ward with a claim staked out on death. 20 years in the Yukon, struggling along its creeks, roaming its giant valleys, scaling its godlike peaks, bathed in its fiery sunsets, fighting its fiendish cold. 20 years in the Yukon, 20 years, and I am old. Old and weak, but no matter, there's hooch in the bottle still. I'll hitch up the dogs tomorrow and mush down the trail to Bill. It's so long, dark, and lonesome, I'll just lay down on the bed. Tomorrow I'll go, tomorrow, I guess I'll play on the red. Come, Kit, your pony is saddled, I'm waiting, dear, in the court. Minnie, you devil, I'll kill you if you skip with that flossy sport. How much goes down to it in the pan, Bill? Play up, school, and play the game. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This was a song of the parson's son as he lay in his bunk alone, ere the fire went out and the cold crept in and his blue lips ceased to moan, and the hunger-maddened Malamutes had torn his flesh from bone. No, hopefully not, at least. I imagine, though, he's writing from, you know, some experiences or insights he has. One of my favorite quotes, I don't know if I can do it word for word. If I'm not a pillar of the church, I'm at least one of the pagan columns that support it from outside. That's one of the quotes he has, and I really like that. Well, the next poem is another well-known poem that many people have probably heard right around a campfire with stars up above and the cedars towering over top and the huskies howling out in the woods with the coyotes around here tend to howl sometimes. If it's not one of the Mavericks, it's a real coyote. This is called The Cremation of Sam McGee. A lot of people memorize this one. I expect I had to do that one of these days, too. I've just never taken the time to do it yet. I've been so intrigued with reading all of his other poetry. The Cremation of Sam McGee. There are strange things done in the midnight sun by the men who boil for gold. The Arctic trails have their secret tales that would make your blood run cold. The Northern Lights have seen queer sights, but the queerest they ever did see was that night on the Mars of Lake DeBarge I cremated Sam McGee. Now, Sam McGee was from Tennessee, where the cotton blooms and blows. Why he left his home in the South to roam round the pole, God only knows. He was always cold, but the land of gold seemed to hold him like a spell, though he'd often say in his homely way, he'd sooner live in hell. On a Christmas day, we were mushing our way over the Dawson Trail. Talk of your cold, through the parka's fold, it stabbed like a driven nail. If our eyes we'd closed and the lashes froze till sometimes we couldn't see, it wasn't much fun, but the only one to whimper was Sam McGee. And that very night, as we lay packed tight in our robes beneath the snow, and the dogs were fed, and the stars o'erhead were dancing heel and toe, he turned to me and, "Cap," says he, "I'll cash in this trip, I guess, and if I do, I'm asking that you won't refuse my last request." Well, he seemed so low I couldn't say no. Then he says with a sort of moan, "It's the cursed cold, and it's got right hold till I'm chilled clean through to the bone. Yet, 'tain't being dead, it's my awful dread of the icy grave that pains, so I want you to swear that, foul or fair, you'll cremate my last remains." Well, a pal's last need is a thing to heed, so I swore I would not fail. And we started on at the streak of dawn, but God, he looked ghastly pale. He crouched on the sleigh, and he raved all day of his home in Tennessee, and before nightfall a corpse was all that was left of Sam McGee. There wasn't a breath in that land of death, and I hurried, horror-driven, with a corpse half-hid that I couldn't get rid because of a promise given. It was lashed to the sleigh, and it seemed to say, "You may tax your brawn and brains, but you promised true, and it's up to you to cremate those last remains." Now, a promise made is a debt unpaid, and the trail has its own stern code. In the days to come, though my lips were dumb, in my heart how I cursed that load. In the long, long night by the lone firelight, while the huskies, round in a ring, howled out their woes to the homeless snows, oh God, how I loathed the thing, and every day that quiet clay seemed to heavy and heavier grow. And on I went, though the dogs were spent and the grub was getting low. The trail was bad, and I felt half mad, but I swore I would not give in, and I'd often sing to the hateful thing, and it hearkened with a grin. Till I came to the marge of Lake DeBarge, and a derelict there lay. It was jammed in the ice, and I saw in a trice it was called the Alice May. And I looked at it, and I thought a bit, and I looked at my frozen chum. Then, "Here," said I with a sudden cry, "is my crematorium." Some planks I tore from the cabin floor, and I lit the boiler fire. Some coal I found that was lying around, and I heaped the fuel higher. The flames just soared, and the furnace roared, such a blaze you seldom see. And I burrowed a hole in the glowing coal, and I stuffed in Sam McGee. Then I made a hike, for I didn't like to hear him sizzle so. And the heavens scowled, and the huskies howled, and the wind began to blow. It was icy cold, but the hot sweat rolled down my cheeks, and I don't know why. And the greasy smoke in an inky cloak went streaking down the sky. I do not know how long in the snow I wrestled with grisly fear, but the stars came out, and they danced about ere again I ventured near. I was sick with dread, but I bravely said, "I'll just take a peep inside. I guess he's cooked, and it's time I looked." Then the door I opened wide. And there sat Sam, looking cool and calm in the heart of the furnace roar, and he wore a smile you could see a mile, and he said, "Please close that door. It's fine in here, but I greatly fear you'll let in the cold and storm. Since I left Plumtree down in Tennessee, it's the first time I've been warm." There are strange things done in the midnight sun by the men who boil for gold. The Arctic trails have their secret tales that would make your blood run cold. The Northern Lights have seen queer sights, but the queerest they ever did see was that night on the marge of Lake DeBarge. I cremated Sam McGee. I've read that one around a lot of campfires and youth camps, and the kids always get really, really quiet. But then the nice thing is, they also go to sleep at the end because they laugh at the end, you know. I've also told ghost stories, but they don't sleep, so I've learned by experience not to tell ghost stories that are too serious. The next poem is called Grim. It's a bit of a remedy if we're ever worrying over things. We can't seem to get rid of our worries, or we have tough situations. If you're up against a bruiser and you're getting knocked about, grin. If you're feeling pretty groggy and you're licked beyond a doubt, grin. Don't let him see your funking. Let him know your every clout. And though your face is battered to a pulp, your blooming heart is stout. Just stand upon your pins until the beggar knocks you out, and grin. This life's a bally battle, and the same advice holds true of grin. If you're up against it badly, then it's only one on you, so grin. If the future's black as thunder, don't let people see your blue. Just cultivate a cast-iron smile of joy the whole day through. If they call you little sunshine, wish that they'd no troubles too, you may grin. Rise up in the morning with a will that, smooth or rough, you'll grin. Sink to sleep at midnight, and although you're feeling tough, yet grin. There's nothing gained by whining, and you're not that kind of stuff. You're a fighter from a way back, and you won't take a rebuff. Your trouble is that you don't know when you've had enough. Don't give in. If fate should get down on you, just get up and take another cuff. You may bank on it that there is no philosophy like bluff, and grin. I don't always take that advice, I'm afraid. So, a couple more poems here. This next poem, there's a bookstore in Portland, Oregon. It's called Powell's Books. It takes up a whole city block, but you know, shelves and shelves. You have to have ladders that get up to the top of the racks. I go there oftentimes to look and see if there are any Robert Services books there. And I found this one time. It's a little book that has illustrations in it. It's called The Song of the Campfire. This is one of his poems. And it's one of my favorite poems and one of my favorite books that I've found of his. Maybe after the reading is over, I'll set this book on the table. If you want to look through the illustrations, you're more than welcome. I'll just hang around for a little while. Heed me, feed me, I am hungry. I am red-tongued with desire. Boughs of balsam, slabs of cedar, gummy faggots of the pine, heap them on me. Let me hug them to my eager heart of fire. Roaring, soaring, up to heaven, as a symbol and a sign, bring me knots of sunny maple, silver birch, and tamarack. Leaping, sweeping, I will lap them with my ardent wings of flame. I will kindle them to glory, I will beat the darkness back. Streaming, gleaming, I will goad them to my glory and my fame. Bring me gnarly limbs of live oak, aid me in my frenzied fight. Strips of ironwood, scaly blue gum, writhing redly in my holds. With my lunge of lurid lances, with my whips that flail the night. They will bourgeois into beauty, they will foliate in gold. Let me star the dim sierras, stab with light the inland seas. Roaming wind and roaring darkness, seek no mercy at my hands. I will mock the marly heavens, lamp the purple prairies. I will flaunt my deathless banners down the far unhouseled lands. In the vast and vaulted pine gloom where the pillared forests frown, by the sullen bestial rivers running where God only knows, on the starlit coral beaches when the combers thunder down, in the death spell of the barrens, in the shudder of the snows, in a blazing belt of triumph from the palm leaf to the pine, as a symbol of defiance, lo, the wilderness I span. and my beacons burn exultant as an everlasting sign of unending domination of the mastery of man. I, the life, the fierce uplifter, I that weaned him from the mire, I, the angel and the devil, I, the tyrant and the slave, I, the spirit of the struggle, I, the mighty God of fire, I, the maker and destroyer, I, the giver and the grave. Gather around me, boy and graybeard, frontiersmen of every kind. Few are you, and far and lonely, yet an army forms behind. By your campfire shall they know you, ashes scattered to the wind. Peer into my heart of solace, break your bannock at my blaze. Smoking, stretched in lazy shelter, build your castles as you gaze. Or it may be, deep in dreaming, think of dim, unhappy days. Let my warmth and glow caress you, for your trails are grim and hard. Let my arms of comfort press you, hunger-hewn and battle-scarred. Oh, my lovers, how I bless you with your lives so madly marred. For you seek the silent places, and their secret lore you glean. For you win the savage races, and the brutish wild you wean. And I gladden desert places where campfire has never been. From the pole unto the tropics is there a trail ye have not dared. And because you hold death lightly, so by death shall you be spared, as the sages of the ages in their pages have declared. On the roaring Arkalinic, in a leaky bark canoe, up the cloud of Mount McKinley, where the avalanche leaps through, in the furnace of Death Valley, when the mirage glimmers blue. Now a smudge of wiry willows on the weary Kuskokeem, now a flare of gummy pine knots where Vancouver's scour is grim, now a gleam of sunny Ceiba where the Cuban beaches dim. Always, always, God's great open, lo, I burn with keener light, in the corridors of silence, in the vestibules of night, mid the ferns and grasses gleaming, was there ever gem so bright? Not for weaklings, not for women like my brother of the hearth. Ring your songs of wrath around me, I was made for manful mirth, in the lusty, gusty greatness on the bald spots of the earth. Men, my masters, men, my lovers, ye have fought and ye have bled. Gather round my ruddy embers, softly glowing is my bed. But my heart of solace dreaming, rest ye and be comforted. I am dying, O my masters, by my fitful flame ye sleep. My purple plumes of glory droop forlorn. Gray ashes choke and cloak me, and above the pines there creep the stealthy silver moccasins of morn. There comes a countless army, its the legions of the light. It tramps its gleaming triumph round the world. And before its jeweled lances all the shadows of the night back into abysmal darknesses are hurled. Leap to life again, my lovers, ye must toil and never tire. The day of daring doing brightens clear, when the bed of spicy cedar and the jovial campfire must only be a memory of cheer. There is hope and golden promise in the vast portentous dawn. There is glamour in the glad effluent sky. Go and leave me. I will dream of you and love you when you're gone. I have served you. Oh, my masters, let me die. A little heap of ashes, gray and sodden by the rain, wind-scattered, blurred and blotted by the snow. Let all be all to tell of me, and glorious again, ye things of greening gladness, leap and glow. A black scar in the sunshine by the palm leaf or the pine, blind to the night and dead to all desire. Yet, oh, of life and uplift, what a symbol and a sign! Yet, oh, of power and conquest, what a destiny is mine. a little heap of ashes. Yeah, a miracle divine. The footprint of a god, all radiant fire. A couple people, which Robert Service mentions in his autobiography that he was influenced by, one of them is Robert Burns. If people are familiar with Robert Burns' writings, you know, there are a lot of similarities. I'm just starting to dig into Burns myself and find myself getting more and more interested in him as well. Another person he mentions is Thoreau. There's a major influence on him. And there's one more fellow, I think his name was Powers. But I have to double check that in my little book. The last poem I'll read is called The Pines. And if any of you are interested in hearing more of Robert Service's poetry, I did a session about 3 weeks ago called Poems of War and Peace by Robert Service, in which I read poems with the themes of war and peace. A lot of people aren't familiar with those poems. There's one called Collected Verse, then there's another later collected verse, then there's another one of even later collected verse. You find a lot of poems in there. Marvelous, marvelous poetry. So this last one is called The Pines. I'd love to read longer, except my voice is kind of scratchy right now. We sleep in the sleep of ages, the bleak, barbarian pines. The gray moss drapes us like sages, and closer we lock our lines. And deeper we clutch through the galled gloom where never a sunbeam shines. On the flanks of the storm-gored ridges are our black battalions massed. We surge in a host to the sullen coast, and we sing in the ocean blast. From empire of sea to empire of snow, we grip our empire fast. To the niggard lands we were driven, twixt desert and floes we were penned. To us was a northland given, ours to stronghold and defend. Ours till the world be riven in the crash of the utter end. Ours from the bleak beginning, through the aeons of death-like sleep. Ours from the shock when the naked rock was hurled from the hissing deep. Ours through the twilight ages of weary glacier creep. Wind of the east, wind of the west, wandering to and fro. Chant your songs in our topmost boughs, that the sons of men may know. The peerless pine was the first to come, and the pine will be last to go. We pillar the halls of perfumed gloom, we plume where the eagles soar. The north wind swoops from the brooding pole, and our ancients crash and roar. But where one falls from the crumbling walls, shoots up a hardy score. We spring from the gloom of the canyon's womb, in the valley's lap we lie. From the white foam fringe, where the breakers cringe, to the peaks that tusk the sky. We climb and we peer in the crag-locked mirror that gleams like a golden eye. Gain to the verge of the hogback ridge where the vision ranges free, pines and pines and the shadows of pines as far as the eyes can see. A steadfast legion of stalwart knights in dominant empery. Sun, moon, and stars give answer. Shall we not staunchly stand, even as now, forever, wards of the wilder strands, sentinels of the stillness, lords of the last lone land? Thanks very much for coming.